going to be talking about maybe the differences of happiness and joy. These are some topics that we see quite often, especially with this season. We just finished Thanksgiving this week. You see words like rejoice, and you see the word joy. It's pretty much on everything right now. But in Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I was thinking about that with the songs that Glenn picked out this morning. They go really well with our lesson. Now, we are going to be looking at a couple of words today. And like I said, we're going to be building this as we go. But the two words that we're going to be mostly focused on today are the words happiness and joy. Now, I'm just looking at the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition here of happiness and joy, and we're going to break these down a little bit further. So if we looked at the definition of happiness, it's the state of being, of well-being and contentment, and joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And I feel like if I was a programmer, I would write a program, right, that would actually loop up. If it says happiness, then you go back and you look at the definition of happiness. And it seems like this is a continual loop. If you read the definition of happiness, it kind of mentions the idea of joy or well-being. But in the definition of joy, it mentions happiness. And you kind of see this rotation of one referring to the other. So we don't really, to me, we don't really have a good idea of what either of these words are from their definition from Merriam-Webster. Now, a lot of psychologists study the idea of happiness. I work with three people very closely that are PhDs in psychology, and I always feel like they're trying to figure out the way that I think, right? Because that's what they do. But so some of the studies and the things that we're going to be talking about today actually come from some psychology reviews. And I would like just to continue this idea thinking about happiness and joy. There's a lot of different charts online that talk about happiness and joy. But I kind of want to point something out very specifically, and I'm going to go back to the scriptures to kind of maybe prove these points when we talk about happiness and joy. Now, there's a lot of these different charts that are out there. There's a lot of psychologists that study the ideas of being happy. We're going to get into that a little bit more. But a lot of them put up charts. Now, if you were to just Google charts, happiness versus joy, there's thousands of them. People have put together all these different charts. But if we were to kind of look at these charts, we can look at joy and happiness. So joy is a result of our inner peace or satisfaction, where happiness is a result of external forces that bring satisfaction to us. Joy, the source of joy, is within ourselves, and happiness is a source of happiness is external. So think about that. Think of joy as being internal, and happiness is the expression of it. Joy has a moral attribute to it, so it has to do with moral. Happiness has more of materialistic attribute. Joy, outcome of self-realization and supreme satisfaction. Happiness, outcome may be mutual, understanding, strengthening, or our bonds with others, admiration. Or joy, more consistent or long-lasting. We're going to focus on that as well. The idea that it's consistent and long-lasting. Think about that when you read about the word joy in the Bible. And then happiness, not that sense that it typically depends on the external forces that bring us happiness, so it may not be very long-lived. I kind of like this idea of breaking down happiness and joy, and we kind of see this in biblical context. So let me explain that real quick on what I mean. So if we were to look over in James 5 and 13, we actually have two in the same verse that kind of to make a point here. It says, anyone among you afflicted, something that's happened to you, the action is, let him pray. Also here in James 5 and 13, it says, if you are merry, something that's in you, the external thing is to let them sing. So just kind of add these together, this idea of combining an internal feeling and an external emotion. Now, we don't really talk about emotions very much. I'm not sure if I've ever talked about that preaching of the different emotions that we would have. However, joy is mentioned many times in the Bible. It's mentioned many times as something that is given to us And we'll see that when we get into this lesson. But when we think about joy in a biblical context, I got this actually from the Lexham Bible Dictionary, and I feel like this explains everything a little bit better than if we were just to follow a definition, let's say that's in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So joy, closely related to gladness and happiness, although joy is more of a state of being than emotion, a result of a choice, think of that too, a choice, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Having joy is a part of the experience of being a Christian. So we'll see that you can't be a Christian without joy. And hopefully, everybody in here can quote the fruit of the Spirit, right? Hopefully all the kids know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Because the song we sing, Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is now law." So it is mentioned that that is a part of being a Christian, this joy. As we go on throughout this study, we will see what joy does to us or how we receive joy. Because it will talk about filling us up with it. Now, it's hard to talk about happiness and joy and the fruit of the Spirit without actually touching on, I feel like, the Beatitudes. Now, before I read the Beatitudes, I would like just to take a look at the Beatitudes and maybe a little bit of the history with it. Because I'm not sure how familiar we are with the idea of Beatitudes, but we are going to be looking at the word blessed, and we might be adding this to what we're currently looking at with joy and happiness. We are going to be looking at Matthew 5, 1 through 12. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles, that's what we're going to be going to here in just a minute. So as we look at the idea of joy and happiness, something that's filled within us, again, joy is longer lasting. Happiness is an external emotion. Happiness doesn't last as long as joy, just as we're kind of thinking through this. I do find it funny. The program that I use to build my slides gives me recommendations of pictures to use for my slides. For some reason, if you type blessed Matthew 5, 1 through 12 in, it really wants you to use a pumpkin as the picture. I fought pretty hard to put this hand in a heart to do this. Don't know why. But we are going to be looking at this idea of blessed. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is I want to look a little bit at the history of why we call it the Beatitudes and the idea of the word blessed. So, if we were to go back to maybe 384 AD, maybe the 4th century, we would be able to see a Bible that was written in Latin, the Vulgate, which was written around that time period. Now, the idea that I'm bringing this up is in that, which is when it was translated into Latin, we have this Latin word that's used, is like beat, which is translated to happy, rich, or blessed. So let's think about that as we read the Beatitudes, and that's kind of where it got its name, because the corresponding word in Greek, as you can see behind me, with some meaning thus, blessed, or the poor spirit, is actually written like this in Latin. Therefore, as time went on, the Latin noun, beatitude, was coined to describe the state of blessedness and was later incorporated with the chapter heading, as we can see, maybe if you turned over to chapter 5, it might even say Beatitudes in your Bible. Well, that's kind of where that comes from. So if we think of all of those meanings, when I say the word blessed, so again, as we talk about joy, happiness, richness, blessed, think about replacing the word blessed in the Beatitudes as we read this here. So each time I read the word blessed, replace it with the word happiness, rich, fulfilled, blessed, So we see that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here, starting in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. We see that Him coming up on a mount. We have all of these people following Him from all of these different locations. It's mentioned there in Matthew 6, or 4, where it mentions where all of these people are from, and He turns around and He sees this multitude. And then He turns around and then He begins this sermon. It's commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the way that He starts it. And seeing the multitude, He went upon the mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Think about that. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. "For they shall be filled." Filled with what? Well, we're going to look at that here in a minute too. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revel and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you." Jesus goes on to mention many things there in the Sermon on the Mount. However, like I mentioned before, we kind of refer these to as the Beatitudes. Things that we should be happy for. Things that we might even have an internal emotion about that we can express. Now, like I mentioned before, if you were to Google what it takes to be happy, you will see that there's a lot of studies out there on what it takes to be happy. Now, if you were to break that down into a study, I have the study here if anybody is interested in it. It can be broken down into three different areas if you were to figure out what is happiness. If you were to maybe take this from a psychological point of view, what makes us happy? So from this study, they say you need to make sure that you have material resources, food, clothing, shelter, and health, social resources, family and friends, and a stable environment. Now, they consider a stable environment faith or religion. I find this interesting because this is definitely not a religious study, nor would they claim to be religious in any means, but they are saying that you need to have a stable environment, and they consider that a faith or a religion. Isn't it interesting that these things are what are considered to be happy? I'm pretty sure you can think of verses right now that talk about each of these three things. Hopefully we can think about each of these three things in our lives and think about maybe those things are what brings us happiness. I couldn't help but think when I was reading over these to think of maybe something, this is what you guys learned in grade school, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When you talk about breaking down these things that we need in our lives, Maslow kind of broke down these, this is like 1948, he came up with this chart about things that we need to be, you know, as we go up the chain, right, we perceive happiness and things that we need to be just as humans, right? So if we were to take a look at the psychological review that I just had up there, and to break it down into this, right, we have our needs like food and water, safety, friends, needs and, being fulfilled, like having a fulfillment of something. But if we were to go back and look at those needs, where we broke those down into three parts, we have material resources, food, water, shelter. If we think of Matthew 6, 31 through 34, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, nor what shall we wear? For after all these things, or what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when we talk about material resources, this is something that God mentions that he will provide. Now, I will mention, if you do read that psychological review about what it takes to be happy, it commonly mentions that even though if you have all of these three things, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be happy. So keep that in mind too. It's a lot more than just these three things. These three things have to work together. It has to work together in an ecosystem in order for you to be happy. One of the other things was social resources. In Psalms 27:10 it says, "Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." We know that it's important to have friends and resources. I also think about social resources as the church. We are to gather together. We are to partake of things together. We even call each other brothers and sisters. We think that we have those social resources. It also mentions in the Bible about what we're supposed to do with our social resources, if our families. In 1 Timothy 5-8, it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Thinking about what we are to do with the resources and things we have with our social environment. Now, we are to have a stable environment. In Hebrews 11:6, when it talks about religion, having that stable environment, that's something that you can rely on, that constant. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him." So we should be constantly seeking God. If we want joy and happiness, to constantly seek those things. I have one more verse I'll mention before we wrap it up today, talking about happiness and joy and peace. Like I mentioned, we see the words joy and peace a lot today. It's that time of year where we see this posted everywhere. Joy and peace. But the last verse today I have is Romans 15 and 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy." Now, I think in the beginning I said that we should be filled with joy. Well, where do we get that from? What is the joy? What is the hope? "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Spirit. That we are given these things to have joy and hope in and peace. That if we were to follow God, we would have everything that's needed. Everything that this psychological study says. Everything that we think that we need, that God has laid out for us. Things to be happy. Things to be full of joy. We also mentioned that joy is something that needs to stay in us longer. Happiness may be short-lived, but joy is to stay with us. I think of some motivational speakers. There was a few that said, happiness and motivation is kind of like taking a shower. You need to do it once a day. You need to be happy. You need to be reminded. You need to have that joy reminded once a day. You need to think about these things to fill you with joy and happiness and peace. So as we were thinking about this lesson, I was going over this with Jenna, we thought of an acronym maybe to remind us about the word happy, because this is about being happiness. We know that joy is longer lasting, but happiness, to think about everything that we've been provided. we have almost no reason not to be happy. However, we do just have regular human emotions. We have ups and downs. I watched a couple of sermons online before I put this together. And, you know, we think about, our pursuit of happiness. That's never mentioned in the Bible. But we know we are to strive to have this joy and this happiness. So if we were to think of the word happy, hopefully we'll do this in closing. We think of the word happy. And as we go throughout our day to day, if we're happy, we're doing everything that God wants us to do. And going along with that last verse about His power, you think that His mighty power protects you. Because when we think about God's power and everything that He's done for us, that He gave His Son to die on the cross for us, that His power is what protects us to give this home in heaven, that we should be filled with joy to do His will, that happiness would be in us. If you would like to become a Christian, to have that happiness and joy, or if you would have any needs of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.